Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming to our quarterly community safety meeting. I am Officer Megan Drake. I am in the Crime Prevention Unit here at the River Forest Police Department. I would like to start if we could recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And we are going to start off tonight's meeting with a word from Chief James Greenwood.
Hello, everybody in the audience and out there on the internet. Thank you for joining us this evening. I wanted just to discuss a couple of issues that people are talking about in and around the village and some initiatives that we're taking as well. The River Forest Police Department is aware of recent resident reports regarding possible interactions involving federal immigration authorities within the community. Some of them have been confirmed. We can confirm that while residents have reported observing the activity, our officers did not witness these interactions firsthand, nor were we notified in advance or during the time of any operations by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement or U.S. Customs and Border Protection within our jurisdiction. The River Forest Police Department remains committed to transparency and community trust. We encourage residents to continue reporting any concerns or unusual activity. Our department will continue to monitor the situation and coordinate with appropriate agencies as necessary to ensure the safety and well-being of all members of our community. The River Forest Police Department does not assist or participate in ICE operations, or Customs and Border Protection operations. Our department is committed to local public safety and to fostering trust and cooperation with all members of our community. We believe that effective policing depends on strong relationships with residents, regardless of their immigration status. On a lighter note, but important, back in the summer, there was an ordinance passed for e-scooters and e-bikes and the regulations, especially with children. So this week, we're starting a proactive step that we're taking in response to the concerns raised by the village and members of the community, especially around the e-bike and e-scooters used around and near Roosevelt School with our middle school students. Starting this week and continuing through the end of the month, officers from the River Forest Police Department will be present during morning drop-off and afternoon dismissal to engage in outreach and education with students and families. Let me be clear, this is not about writing tickets or issuing citations. Our goal is education first. We want to make sure our young people understand the rules and stay safe, and we want to support the families navigating these newer transportation trends. Here's what you can expect. Officers will be stationed near and around Roosevelt School during peak times. If a student is riding an e-scooter or e-bike in violation of local ordinances, particularly e-scooters, which are not permitted for anybody under the age of 18, officers will engage them in a respectful educational conversation. Student will be given a contact form to take home, which includes a summary of the relevant laws and a note for their parents. We'll also collect basic contact information so that our school resource officer, Megan Drake, can follow up with a friendly phone call to answer any questions and reinforce the message with the parents. We're asking students in violation to walk their scooters the rest of the way to school or on their way home, and we appreciate everyone's cooperation in making this a smooth and positive experience. This initiative is about prevention, not punishment. We believe that by working together, parents, students, schools, and police, we can avoid the need for stricter enforcement down the road. Thank you for your continued partnership in keeping our community safe and informed. I'm going to turn this back over to Megan Drake. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I would like to introduce our first guest speaker, Michelle Howard. She is the Family Engagement Partnership Coordinator with Collaboration for Early Childhood. Michelle, thank you so much for being here to present for us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here. I'm gonna share my presentation. You all see my screen? You could see the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So thanks again for inviting us to come out and talk about the Collaboration for Early Childhood. I'm going to just share some of our background with you all and then share more about our program areas that we use to operate our services that we provide or services that we support in the community. I'm the Family Engagement Partnership Coordinator at the Collaboration, so she'll share more about my direct work during this presentation. But just to share a little bit to get started. So our mission at the Collaboration for Early Childhood is that we're a community-driven organization that cultivates the development of the whole child, birth to age 5, by engaging families, local organizations, early childhood educators, caregivers, and health providers to create equitable, nurturing, and interconnected systems of support. So when you think about the Collaboration for Early Childhood, we hope that you, if you see a family that is expecting or has a child that's between the ages of 0 to 5, we want to be who you're thinking about in case they need any resources or anything. That is what we exist for, is to make sure that families that are expecting or that are, have child under pretty much up to kindergarten entry, that we are there to support them in the different ways that I'll talk about tonight. Our vision is that we envision communities where every young child has the care, relationships, and resources needed to thrive and begin school safe, healthy, and empowered to succeed. At the Collaboration, we use a model called Collective Impact. So Collective Impact is a place-based approach to achieving strong outcomes for communities, recognizing the unique strength, opportunities, and challenges in each place, and it acknowledges that it will take everyone to do the work. So the Collaboration, we do not provide direct service. We just support all of the agencies and organizations in the area who do. Our offices are located in Oak Park, but 85% of our funding comes through an intergovernmental agreement that we have in place. So our funders are primarily the Village of Oak Park, District 97 in Oak Park, and then District 200, which is the Oak Park River Forest High School. We are currently in the middle of a strategic plan, which we called Get Rounded and Growing, so expanding a web of support for young children. So we see our strategic plan in four different ways. One is deepening local impact. So that's really taking what we've been doing. The Collaboration has been around for 23 years. We're at our biggest staffing right now. I will go through a little bit of who's on our staff, but there are 13 of us doing all of this work that you'll hear about tonight. 10 of us are full-time, and then we have 3 part-time staff as well. So what we are focusing on through our strategic plan is deepening our local impact. So that's really the things that we have been doing for the last 23 years, all of the very specific Oak Park River Forest work that we engage in, just making sure that we are, if there's new partners coming into the area, and that could be new organizations that are providing mental health support or organizations, early childhood programs. We want to make sure that they're aware of us and that we are aware of them so that we can offer, find out what supports they need as they're supporting families. So that has been a mission, our mission for a very long time. And then at the last couple years, we have really, I'm sure you all know that even if a family lives in Oak Park or River Forest, they're not necessarily only providing or getting services in those areas. So we want to make sure that we're widening our system impact as well. So that we do that through really trying to diversify. This kind of goes into ensuring financial stability, diversify where our funding is coming from. So because we know that families don't stay within the borders of their zip codes necessarily, they're getting services other places, they're crossing Harlem and they're crossing Roosevelt and Austin. So we just want to make sure that our funding is supportive of us working with families that live outside of Oak Park and River Forest so that we can, we've identified that families are going anywhere and everywhere that they can to get support. So we just want to make sure that what our work is doing is acknowledging that. Cultivating organizational maturation is another one of the pieces of our strategic plan. And that's just to ensure that we continue to grow in our impact and effectively, looking at our vision, making sure that we are meeting like the needs of the families and the community, looking at our internal governance, and then ensuring financial stability. I mentioned that a little bit, but that's really just making sure that we are able to continue to do the work that we do in Oak Park and River Forest, and then expanding that out, not just in our services, but in the funding that we have that kind of supports what we're doing. One of our biggest funders right now, aside from, I mean, our biggest funder continues to be the IGA contract that's in place. But we, the last 3 years, have had funding from Birth to Five Illinois. So that has really allowed us to go outside of Oak Park and River Forest when we're offering certain things and we're connecting with different programs. This is our staff. So like I said, there's 13 of us that work. 10 of us are full-time, 3 of us are part-time. Just to give you an idea of who's on staff. So we have 2 family ambassadors. They are Oak Park residents who have children in the Oak Park School District system. They have been with the collaboration for 6 or 7 years. So they were with us when their little ones were in the 0 to 5 age range. And they remain with us now as their kids are navigating, as they and their kids are navigating District 97 and actually District 200 now. There are 3 members of our leadership team, which is Laura Crawford, Shannon Ellison, and our executive director, Mary Reynolds. And then our other part-time staff member is Tiffany Kelly. So one of the things that I'll talk about in a couple slides is in our health and development work, we offer hearing and vision to early learning programs. We are able to screen their 3 to 5 year olds, their vision and hearing during their school day. And Tiffany Kelly is our vision and hearing screening technician. And then the rest of us all just have a program area again that I'll talk about. Those are early learning, health and development, family engagement, which is mine, community engagement, and then we do a coordinated intake line as well. And please, I left time to talk, ask questions at the end. If you have questions now, you could put them in the chat. But know that I'm also going to follow up with Megan with some links to some of the things that I'll talk about, so you don't have to remember everything that I say this evening. So why is our work important? So this slide just talks about building a strong foundation in the first 2,000 days. So obviously we know that babies aren't born with all the skills that they need to do things like control impulses, make plans, stay focused. But we're born with the potential to develop these capacities. And how we do that is through really where our program areas have come through. So we could do that through good health, strong families, and quality learning experiences. And these data right here is from 2022. So knowing that that is data, if we looked at the same data now, it would probably tell a different story. But we also want to be responsive to what's happening in the economy, and knowing that early childhood care and education, there are barriers to that for people. So some of the things listed on this slide just talk about in 2022, nearly 1 in 4 parents reported being fired from their jobs due to the continuing breakdown of childcare for their kids. Due to lack of reliable childcare, about 1 in 3 parents had their payer hours reduced as a result, or switched from full-time to part-time employment. And the lack of access to affordable childcare has cost the nation $122 billion in 2022 due to lost wages, productivity, and tax revenue, so which is about twice the cost reported in 2018. So that just, again, is a driving force for our work, too, is to make sure that we're connecting families to quality early learning programs and childcare so that they can go and do, have jobs that are paying them enough and are stable. So that's, like I said, where we come in. So again, these are our program service areas, which I'm going to dive into a little bit each of them. So early learning, health and development, family engagement, community engagement, and then our coordinated intake, which if you look on the circle, we each have our own little piece of the pie, and then coordinated intake kind of encircles all of that because it touches each and every one of our 4 program areas. So what is our early learning program area look like? So things that are included in that are educational leadership, classroom quality support, transition to kindergarten. Like I said, we want to make sure that every family and child is ready. We will go up to kindergarten entry so that we know that anybody touching those families in any way is helping the family feel prepared and the child feel prepared to go to kindergarten. Equity and access to preschool, professional development for early learning program staff, early childhood mental health, and connection to community resources. So a couple ways that we do this. One is our early childhood symposium. So that is an annual event that we put on. It's typically the last Saturday in February. The one coming up this year is February 28th. It's typically attended by more than 300 educators, caregivers, parents, and those who work with or care for young children. So we offer three sets of workshops that day. So we have an early bird workshop, an AM workshop, and a PM workshop. And the idea behind this, one of the many ideas behind the symposium, is that early learning program staff can come to one. They get professional development hours for coming to this. So what is required by the state for their program, they can get most of that done at the symposium. And that's by offering over 30 workshops. And that's just a way we have programs that come Oak Park, River Forest, obviously local around Oak Park and River Forest, but we have programs that come from Indiana. We have people that come from even further out of state, just knowing that it's a quality symposium that's really focused on what we hear. We have all of our work at the collaboration is community, I'm sorry, committee based. So we have a professional development committee that kind of has their ear on the ground to say, like, this is what we know that early learning providers need. This is what our symposium should really be focusing on that year. Some of the other things that we do to support early learning program staff, is providing professional development, as needed. But then we recently had two cycles of funding to do a social emotional tools and techniques work group. So that was, we invited early learning program teachers and directors to come to this. And they, you'll see in this picture, we talked about social emotional development and kids, the very, how that's such an important thing. We provided them with bags and bags of social emotional tools and toys that they could take back to their programs. And we've gotten really great responses from, first of all, just identifying that social emotional, there are social emotional needs among our children, and that, we sometimes these special tools, our approach to them is obviously super important, but also having these things in their classrooms where kids can take a step and get regulated again or just do what they need to do, to be able to step out of a situation, feel calm to then come back into the situation. So that our last funding for that ended in June. But it, like I said, it was super successful. So I can't imagine if we can find funding for it again, we will probably do it again. Our health and development work, deals with child screening and health, maternal health and home visiting, early childhood mental health, health practitioner support, and support for children with disabilities. So we do this in lots of different ways. A couple of them are highlighted here. So one of the things that we do with River Forest programs, Oak Park programs, and then now due to other funding outside of Oak Park and River Forest early learning programs, is they can join our developmental screening project. So that allows their staff to provide ASQ3, which is a developmental screening, and ASQ social emotional 2 to parents. So the program send those out to parents. The parents complete them. It helps us kind of just be able to support the program, the early learning program. If they're seeing delays or concerns in a child, we get to get that information, work through it with them, kind of help them figure out what are the next steps, what referrals might those families and kids need. This also encompasses, like I mentioned, our vision and hearing tech, Tiffany. She does a lot, as you see, hearing and vision screenings throughout the year with families. So we really just want to be focusing, like I mentioned, one of our values is the whole child. So looking at through the lens of development, social emotional development, hearing and vision. And then you'll see we do catch some, there's some referrals on here. So we had 21 vision referrals and 18 hearing referrals last year. And that's the work that we're doing here is helping to catch those things that a pediatrician might miss or that maybe just is letting the family know that they do need to talk to their pediatrician about a concern that they have because it's showing up this way too. And then a couple years ago, we had a CATCH grant, and what that allowed us to do was look at social determinants of health. So families did something called an ASQ, ESQ, sorry. So it's an environmental screening. And what came from that is, we made a little video library, which I will link for Megan when I send out a follow-up email for you all to have too. But we just determined from that work that families needed additional support on mental health, on finding a therapist, on self-care, So we took that and worked with, partnered with some professionals in the area to make videos so that families could have access to information on these topics on our website, based on just how people responded to the social determinants of health screening that they completed. Like I said, family engagement is my work. So some of the things we do in family engagement is parent leadership development, parenting resource program, which is the committee that oversees all of our family engagement work, parenting skills training, fatherhood support, and parent wellness support. So that looks like a lot of things. One thing is outreach. So you might see the collaboration at many things out in the community, and that is our goal. We don't know what families need us at any point in time. So we just want to make sure that we're visible and that they know where to find us when they're ready for us, or that they know that if a neighbor needs something, that the collaboration is there to help them. So this just highlights some of the things that we have been doing or are looking forward to do. This year, we started doing a new neighbor play date. Our last one was scheduled for Whirlwind Coffee in Oak Park, but we were going to use our outside space and it happened to rain that day. So that was at our office instead. We actually would love to do one in River Forest. So if anybody has ideas for places to do that, and that's really just what we hear a lot in the community is that families just need a space to come together. Or they can talk, they can meet each other. So we call it a new neighbor play date, but that's a very loose term because you don't have to be new in the neighborhood, because obviously there's wealth of knowledge for families that have lived in the neighborhood for a very long time. We just want to make opportunities for families to connect with each other in these ways. This Saturday, we have one of our biggest events that we do is our Early Childhood Resource Fair and Fall Family Fun. So this Saturday, October 12, 25th, we will be at the Oak Park Main Library. We have over 40 programs represented there. So some Oak Park programs, some River Forest programs, and then some programs outside of those areas. And that's just an opportunity. We start with a little costume parade around Scoville Park. And then we have those programs, early learning programs will be there too. So if a family's looking for a daycare or a preschool, they can just come to our resource fair and meet. I have 13 different early learning programs that will be there since that's Oak Park and River Forest are very rich in resources in some areas. And sometimes we talk to families a lot where that can be kind of overwhelming for them. Because there is so much and it's hard to know where to start. So we want to help take like that on, like to help just support them so that they don't have to question and they don't have to take so long to figure out that everybody has a waiting list or who doesn't have a waiting list. So the resource fair is one way that we do that because families can just come and talk to programs in person and ask their questions in one space. So that's from 10 to 12 at the library, the main library this weekend. We're also doing a postpartum mental health workshop this weekend on Saturday after the resource fair. And then a couple other things that we have coming up are an active listening workshop, which we're doing at the Forest Park Public Library on November 8th. And then we're doing a potty training workshop on November 10th in the Bellwood School District. But you'll find that all of our workshops, we try to do them hybrid so that if a family can't come to our location in person, they're able to join online. And then I have on here, we are working last this year, so 2025, we did our first baby expo. So that is kind of like our resource fair, but very much focused on expectant families up to with children up to 12 months old. We did it at Percy Julian this year. We're trying to make it a bigger event since it's our second time doing it next year. So that is tentatively scheduled for April 18th, but more information on that to come. And then the fourth part, fourth program area is our community engagement. So that's community resources, public events, communications and social media, and public awareness building. So this again is a lot of where our outreach comes in too. And what our community engagement does, what we do with families is what community engagement is doing with partners and businesses in the community. So that's just a way to make sure that families, again, collective impact is really about there's no wrong door. So it's making sure that pro businesses in the area know about us, that if they interact with a family that might need a little support or don't know what they need or are new to the area, that they know that the collaboration for early childhood is where they would send that family so that they can get the support that they need. So this just mentions how like there are local governments usually have a business person on staff who can help childcare programs with questions and incentives for small businesses. So some of this is we recognize that there's a sponsor in the area through a business that might be able to help support another small business or help support an early learning program. So we want to make those connections. We also, I will send this to Megan too. The collaboration does many, we have four different newsletters that we do. And one is our just a general newsletter that goes out the first Monday of every month. If there are partners in the community that would like to be highlighted in that, they would go through our community engagement to get highlighted in that newsletter. So coordinated intake, as I mentioned, is not one of the four program areas, but it is important enough that it encircles all of our program areas. So this is really, again, that there's no wrong door to accessing early childhood care and education information. So we believe that everyone should have access to the important and often free community resources available to them. So on our staff, we have intake coordinator. So she is available through email, through or a phone call at the number and the email address provided here. And really, it's for families to be able to call, for professionals to be able to call, to be able to ask questions that they maybe don't know the answer to, or to be able to find a resource that they maybe don't know that that's in the community. So Lenita, who is our intake coordinator, she can help families find free preschool in Oak Park. And there are three free preschools in Oak Park through Preschool for All, but two of them, they don't, families that use it do not have to be Oak Park residents. So she can help find free preschool for families. She can help them, families navigate the early learning and childcare options available for them. She has information on preparing for kindergarten. She is our connection for parent support programs like home visiting. She's our connection to local networks for parents. I highlighted on here, the collaboration does these free baby bundles for new and expectant parents. And those, it's just a big canvas bag of materials. They've really taken off lately. Again, I will send a link to how to sign up for that. But it just includes like information on postpartum depression, information on brushing teeth, just things that like you don't know maybe that you're necessarily thinking about in that first year, but we want to have at your fingertips in case you do need it. Lenita can answer questions about child development. She can connect families to early intervention and early childhood special education services. And then she can just connect families to resources for children with developmental delays or disabilities. So I'm sorry, that was hopefully that wasn't too fast, but that is basically what the collaboration is here for. Like I said, we're not a direct service organization, but we work with so many direct service organizations to make sure that if a family or a partner, a community partner needs something, that we can help make those connections between them. I'm going to stop sharing, but I'm open to any questions that you have or anything that I can clarify for you.
Michelle, thank you. Do we have any questions in the audience? I'm sorry. We don't have any questions at this time. That was a ton of information. We really appreciate, no, in a good way, we appreciate you sharing it.
Yes.
Thank you so much for presenting, and please send me whatever you have and
Yes,
I'll make
I will.
sure that we'll pass it along. So thank you so
Yes.
much.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good night.
Thanks to you too.
Okay. Unfortunately, our second guest speaker was not able to make it, so hopefully we are able to get them back here for a different community safety meeting. I'm going to start by going over just River Forest free the police department's free services, as always. So we have the emergency ID bracelet program, the frontline portal, which is used for overnight parking. You can also input vacation watches in there, which I believe Detective Sergeant might talk about holiday precautions when he comes up. And then the key holder portal, that's anything you can put in for your residence or business, information that you would like us to know, contact information in the event that we need to get a hold of you should something occur. Residential security surveys, we do have Hyundai and Kia steering wheel locks and gun locks as well that we are giving out. Child safety seat inspections. We just did National Seat Check Saturday in September. If you were unable to make it to that, you still can go go on the village website, fill out a form and submit that, and someone will contact you to schedule a child safety seat inspection here at the police department or with one of the fire department members. River Forest Community Safety and Too Good for Drugs are programs that I go into the schools for. And then the Junior Citizens Police Academy was this past August, and we will be doing that again this upcoming year. Upcoming events this Saturday, October 25th, is the DEA's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. This is a great way to get rid of any unused or no longer needed prescription medications. They get safely disposed of. The collection box is here. It's downstairs at Village Hall. And then we have Halloween coming up next Friday. Trick-or-treating, the hours for the village are going to be 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then we are going to go over some Halloween safety tips for both the trick-or-treaters and for parents, drivers, or any other residents. This will be posted, this presentation, so you don't have to write it all down, but you are welcome to take a picture of it if it's something you want to look back at. We just encourage adding reflective, for trick-or-treaters, reflective tape or anything that can brighten up those costumes so that they're more visible. We do have light up lights here that can clip on if anyone is interested in those. Feel free to stop by Village Hall and we'd be happy to provide you with one. Encourage your trick-or-treaters to please walk on the sidewalks, use those crosswalks, and make sure that they are not starting out into the street and being extra cautious around driveways with people pulling in and backing out. Set a route before you head out, and then make sure costumes do not drag on the ground to avoid tripping and any injuries. Flame-resistant materials, and then try to inspect. I know it's hard because they go right for that candy. But try to inspect that before they consume any to make sure that none of the packaging has been tampered with. Same reason to avoid homemade treats unless you know exactly who they're coming from. For the drivers and residents, just be extra cautious in the residential areas. Stay alert, especially around driveways and intersections. Stay off the phone or other distracting devices while in your car. Use those headlights early. And then try and keep your residences well lit, the porches and any walkways, if you plan on having trick-or-treaters come to your door. Secure your pets inside and away from the front door. This is to keep the trick-or-treater safe, but also to keep your pets from getting out and getting loose. Clear any obstacles that could trip visitors. Use LED candles instead of real flames. And then encourage older trick-or-treaters to at least travel in groups if they are going out unsupervised. And then, as always, report any suspicious activity. If you see something that you feel might be off, we would rather you call and have it be nothing than you not call and have it be something that we could have helped with. Okay. Now, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's a time to raise awareness, support survivors, and reinforce the community's commitment to safety. One in four women and one in nine men experience severe intimate partner violence in their lifetime, and it affects every age, gender, race, and in every neighborhood. It isn't just a family issue. This is a community safety issue that affects children, workplaces, schools, and public safety resources. So this month, we want to encourage, as always, victims are often hesitant to come forward due to fear, shame, lack of trust. Reassure those in your life and reassure, it's our job to reassure the public that we and partner agencies, we're here to help without judgment. So please reach out to those around you and just let them know that we are here. Sarah's Inn is an organization in the area, and they are it for domestic violence victims. They have intervention services for those that are impacted. They provide legal support services, and then they have adult, adolescent children and young children education and training programs to try and prevent future violence. They are it's the month of December or November every year. It ends December 4th I believe. They do a holiday gift project where they collect, there's a list on the website that I listed there, a list of things that may be on kids' wish list, kids that have been impacted by domestic violence in their families. And it gives those that use Sarah's Inn the ability to go and shop for different things, gifts to provide their kids. So that list is there. We are a collection site for that. And I just want to double check on our dates. But I believe it's December 4th. We are a collection site. That box should be here upstairs either by the end of this week or next week. But feel free to drop things off sooner if you want. I can house them until that collection box is here. I also have on the bottom there the website dvawareness.org, free materials. They have so many different resources for those that are dealing with any sort of domestic violence. And then below that is the 24/7 National Domestic Violence Hotline. That, as it states, is 24/7 for anyone to call for any sort of crisis, if they want just to have a discussion, if they're looking for resources and things such as that. I am going to turn it over now to Detective Sergeant Justin Labriola with our investigations unit.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming out. And for those who are watching at home, I appreciate you tuning in and seeing what we have to say. Megan, thank you very much. The first thing I would want to talk about is I know that every quarterly meeting that we do have a plethora of resources. I want to bring that up, that it's just not necessarily specific to any given month, but at any point in time, if you do need any sort of resources, I think the police department should be one of your first calls. We could always point you into the right direction if we don't have those resources readily available. Megan did bring up some items about Halloween to make sure that we're safe during this season here for trick-or-treaters. And with the upcoming holidays, considering it's right around the corner, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah, we are having our usual concerns about packages being delivered and taken off of our doorsteps. So make sure that you are aware about your packages, when they're going to be delivered, things like that. Also, Megan did bring up the fact of if you are going to be going out of town over any of the holidays, either that being, you know, Thanksgiving or during the winter time, use the frontline portal. Make sure that the police department's aware. We could make sure that there's some extra checks done on your residence. And this is not only to prevent crimes or thwart any of those crimes, but also just in case there's any sort of emergency in your house, if you have a pipe that breaks, your house floods, things like that, at least the police department would be able to make sure that they're aware of that. The other thing that we're starting to see somewhat of a trend of, not necessarily here in River Forest, but just in the neighboring communities as well, any types of scams that you see. And I know every quarter I say some of the same things, but if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So if you do have any questions about the legitimacy of some sort of call that you receive, or if someone approaches you in a parking lot, maybe about a dent on your car, or someone wants to come rake your leaves, shovel your snow, whatever it is, if you question it, contact us. We'll figure out to see if they're legitimate or not. I think too many people hesitate on calling us. That is our job. We are here to support you. We're here to support every member of this community. So don't feel that you're wasting our time. Please feel free to reach out to us at any point in time. And I think that's about it. What I have. Anybody have any questions? No. Thank you.
At this time, we'll take any questions from the audience, if there are any out there. And are there any questions on the chat, Luke? Sir. Sure. Actually, Officer Drake and her Sergeant Ransom are both qualified to do like a security survey of the building, so they could come over and make recommendations on what might be best for the for your building. Might be, you know, a couple cameras. It might be different security measures for the locks on the front and back of the entryways to the common areas. So you can reach out to Officer Drake or somebody from the Condo Association or Building Association. Can reach out and she'll be able to help you with that. You're welcome. Anybody else? Well, once again, we'd like to thank you for coming out to the meeting, and thanks to those who are viewing on the internet. And we look forward to our next meeting, which won't be until next year. So happy New Year, a little early, but it's a quarterly meeting, so that's how it goes. Thank you very much, and have a great evening, and be